Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night. I almost said afternoon for some reason. Hope everybody's doing okay once again. My thoughts go out to everybody that's struggling right now. I've said all along that this is basically for you as a distraction, myself included. But definitely feel for all the people that are essential workers, working at the hospital, working at the grocery store. Really, if you're coming in contact with people, my thoughts go out and definitely appreciate. I also appreciate what you're doing. I also just appreciate, we always appreciate the listens and ever, you know, all the time, but I just can't talk right now for some reason. No, but I appreciate the listens just in general. The listenership to this has been, it's been really nice. I really appreciate it. Definitely going to keep doing my thing, but yeah. Definitely, podcasts in general are down numbers-wise. And I think everybody's are down a little bit, no matter what. But, there has been, like, Lukey Boxing. For a while, he wasn't doing many podcasts or videos. Now he's just pumping them up. Shouts out to you, Lucky Lukey. We do have a variety of things to talk about on the show tonight. One of the questions that I actually asked this question on Twitter late afternoon, which division is the best in boxing right now? Best division in boxing 2020. What is it? Is it 147 still? Is it 118? Is it 154? Is it 135? There's some other divisions out there. 160, 168, and 175 have some depth, have some quality. They kind of got to fight each other a little bit more. But also, Canelo, where do you put Canelo in this? Because right now, he's not really a 160-pounder, so that's kind of interesting. But that'll be like the in-depth breakdown, the best division in boxing. Now, we do have some other segments. I do have a PBC on Fox first-year progress report. It won't be as in-depth as my article on thegruelingtruth.com, which you can go check out right now. I do progress reports for the first year of, or the first chunk of time with ESPN with Top Rank with DAZN, and now I'm doing one for BBC with Fox. Just the first year kind of progress report. I also do those quarterly reports too. A couple of weeks ago, I did a first quarter progress report as well. So something to look out for. I'll be doing that though. Variety of things. Bob Arum, there's a tad bit of follow-up from the Bob Arum stuff about Pacquiao and Crawford. Not a whole lot, though. I did have some feedback, though, some good feedback. A lot of people were like, you know, glad that you're saying that because he has said a wide variety of disrespectful things. And then now he wants to make the fight. There was a media member, full-time media member, online that actually had kind of, I'm not going to say challenged me, but kind of blew off what I was saying as if it's not disrespectful or something like that. Speaking of Bob Arum, though, he actually gave us even a little bit more update on his return, well, boxing's return on ESPN. We talked a little bit about it last week. I'll give you a little bit more fill-in. He was on Sirius XM, did an interview there. He's also recently talked about how there's going to be some changes. You know, if you're a fighter that doesn't want to fight, you know, that only will fight in front of a crowd, see you later. We'll put you on the bench. Also talked about fighter pay, how it may have to go down overall, and especially for pay-per-view. We'll dig into some of that. Mike Tyson, it just shows you how popular this guy was. Tyson, you know, he talked about, I want to come back, I'm in shape, I want to come back, but it sounded just like charity. Him and Holyfield for the trilogy, but it's just a charity exhibition. I'm in between on that exhibition thing. I like the charity thing. Like, what are we talking about, headgear too? And big gloves? Because that, to me, is an exhibition. Not to, like, hack, you know, any kind of amateurs out there. I'm just saying at this age, well, we'll talk about it. Because Holyfield saying I'm down, Tyson saying I'm down, he put out this clip of him going off on the mitts and saying he feels ready to go. And it definitely dropped a lot of attention. I'll give you my thoughts on it. There's some other things, too. Actually, I watched the George Foreman doc. I'll tell you all about. There are some minor UK boxing rules that have recently been released that I'll go over. Of course, we'll get into the ever-popular boxing Twitter segment. Won't try to spend too much time there, but that'll be interesting. Broner making some more diva posts. Not a big surprise there. Abner Mares had some words to say about Ryan Garcia challenging other UFC guys. And it's beef now, it sounds like. It's beef. Ryan Garcia returned the favor. We'll tell you about that. Anthony Joshua, some of his comments, like, I like Joshua a lot. Don't get me wrong. And I think he's great for the sport in many ways. I love that he brings in a lot of casual fans. He's a pretty damn good fighter himself. He came back from that loss. That was telling. You know, the fact that he's now, like, staying in shape and working on his craft between fights, I really love it. But, man, sometimes he just says something where you're like, dude, what are you talking about? So there are a couple other items that we'll get to as well. But before we get into that, if this is your first time listening to the Rope It Up Radio podcast, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com. /Rope It Up Radio. It streams live at archives. It's all right there. It's the headquarters, so to speak. However, if you want to listen to the Rope It Up Radio podcast and you don't want to listen to the browser at Blog Talk or, you know, download it at Blog Talk, you can do that. But if you don't want to, that's cool. We're available pretty much everywhere. Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify as well. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platforms while you're at it. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's boxing, it's football, basketball, baseball, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have, you're not quite happy. Everybody is a whole lot. I shouldn't say everybody, because a lot of people are working more hours and harder hours and all that type of stuff. But a lot of people are out there archiving a bunch of stuff, as you know. So if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I do have AT&T TV Now live streaming cable for you. Okay, I do it myself. There's a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. Even when you do start the plan, it's $55 a month. That's where it starts. You could stream it anywhere. It has the cloud DVR. And for boxing fans, Showtime is $11 on there. Just a heads up there. Like I said, plans start as low as $55 a month. It's AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if you're in a part of the country that just is horrible or a part of a state you're out in the boondocks, I get it, where your internet is just – shaky. It's one thing to archive something off Netflix or download something or whatever, but when you're having a live streaming program, a platform, I should say, that does add something to it. So there is AT&T TV. That's your normal cable platform. It's a growing brand right now. It's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to the Northwest and Seattle, other places like St. Louis, really all across the country. It's available in limited areas. Just basically Google it, AT&T TV, put your area code in there, see if you got it in your area. And like I said, it is a growing brand, so we'll be there maybe soon. But otherwise, AT&T TV now, like I said, that's live streaming cable. Okay. Like I said, I hope everybody's doing okay out there. I'm excited because the thing we've been talking about is, you know, the hope, the light, that little light, just a little bit of light creeping out at the end of the tunnel as far as return of sports and especially boxing for us, right? And the fact that the UFC just had an event that went off pretty well. I mean, obviously, there was somebody that had contracted the disease, the virus. They were able to get through it. We'll see, obviously, in the next chunk of days. I wonder if they keep testing you once you're done. I wonder how that is, because now you've gotten around more people than you had. I wonder if they test you post-fight, not just that night. I don't know about that, but I'll give you a little bit of information on that UFC event, but that's a good sign for boxing. You hear the MLB, you hear the NBA, you hear these other sports bracing themselves, organizing, planning certain things, certain, you know, venues and whatnot, areas to do it, and cities to try to contain everybody in one spot. And obviously, like I said, with UFC, I wouldn't say, you know, going off without a hitch, because that's not true. But, you know, if this stuff doesn't happen in a couple of weeks, it's that much, you know, that many more tests available and whatnot. So I'll give you a little update when it comes to that. But that light is getting brighter at the end of the tunnel. It really is, especially, like I said, for boxing. So like we mentioned, June is going to be the time, you know, when it comes back. Bob Arum mentioned, like I said, on SiriusXM at the fights. This is from Keith Idick, some of his quotes on boxing scene. And right now he said he's in the process of finalizing plans to start, you know, televising in June. Early June, he said, too. Last week he said sometime in June, but we're going to do multiple shows. At least he was talking about two. Well, here's a little bit more detail on that. Like I said, they're talking about early June. So would that mean in a month we're good to go? Or we got 1-2 June 6th? God, that's crazy. June 6th is so 3 weeks away. Could that be, you know, potentially the first week? In either way, it's close. But he was talking about where was that? Okay, so he was talking about early June, which was a little bit different. We have contacted most of our fighters. You talked to the co-host, Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney. We plan to launch the first week in June, if safe, in a secure way, obviously. So June 6th is going to be the first event. Well, it actually might be, you know, I say June 6th, but first week, it could be during the week. It actually could be, let me get that calendar back up real quick. It could be in 1-2, it could be in 3 weeks during the middle of the week that it comes back, which should be phenomenal. So, you know, he said we're making the arrangements, yada, 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 whether it's the hotels and the testing and just trying to make, you know, put them in a bubble like he mentions. The good side is we hope we're arranging with our The good side is we hope we're arranging with ESPN to do 2 or 3 events a week. They obviously have a few to make up, probably several at this point, so that'll help there to get back on schedule. So because, you know, you take a big sports network like ESPN, ESPN Plus, they don't have live sports now. Putting boxing on, particularly top level, will be attracting big audiences, obviously, he means TV. So he goes on to say, you know, that this is going to happen. Like, this is happening. Six shows in the United States and Canada that they've had to shut down. So first week, dude, that is really, really good news. So that's just a little bit more of an update when it comes to that. We're going to keep with Aram here in just a moment, but also Keith Idick on BoxingScene.com was talking about Showtime. Steven Espinoza, network is planning to return live with live boxing in July. And he always said they do need a little bit more of a run-up, and he wants to make sure that the fighters are ready. But he said we're targeting sometime in July to return, and obviously we're spending a tremendous amount of time right now trying to make the environment as safe as possible. Keep in mind that involves working with PBC as they set the protocols for the fighters and promoters. I also work with the parent company, ViacomCBS, to set up the protocol. So, but more importantly, the vast majority of individuals probably have someone very close to them who's high at risk, yada, 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 about that. So he's saying right in the round. Okay, so here he says, practically speaking, we want fighters to have a full camp. For example, California is just starting to open up. Texas is just starting to reopen. Within the last week, along with the other state. That means a lot of fighters in California, Texas, and elsewhere haven't had a regular access gym to sparring. So we can rush back in June, but he wants the full camps, basically. So July, it sounds like they will start. That's their goal anyway. And then, obviously, operating without crowds right away, the potential that that's going to be, back to normal. While so, those are decent signs, that's for sure. I do like that. Before we get into the best division in boxing, which we will break down, whether it's 135, 154, 147, 118, a couple other out there, I'm going to go over some of the Twitter stuff too. Twitter segment, of course, but the replies, because I got a fair amount of replies. Give some opinions out there, so it's not my opinions per se, but, other people's opinions as well. Of course, I'm going to give my take on it too. So, Bob, speaking of, bringing it back, right, boxing, Bob also, and this is Keith Idick, I'm just going Keith Idick today, BoxingScene.com once again. This is the headline. Aram, we must convince fighters to take lower guarantees, more upside for pay-per-view fights. Which makes sense, the fact that they don't have the crowd in a pay-per-view setting. He talked about how Crawford and Porter probably at this point wouldn't happen. Same with Spence. A lot of these pay-per-views, Wilder and Fury, the trilogy is set right around October, but I shouldn't say set as a tentative date. They're in between on that, so that's probably what he's talking about. Hey, man, if we're going to do it on pay-per-view, you got to go lower. So this is kind of what he was saying. He believes that the equation needs to change, especially if promoters and network partners are to experiment with lowering the prices. So that's kind of interesting. Hey, I want you to take less, but we're going to charge less too. That's kind of interesting. I'm not fighting it. This is what he said on Mannix's podcast, by the way, Sports Illustrated boxing podcast. But we talked about this plenty of times in the past, but he said right now they'd be better off charging $40 to lure in more customers. Most pay-per-view boxing shows, U.S. customers nearly or exactly double that, yada, yada, yada. To lower the price point, it'll take cooperation from the fighters in the main events, who in most pay-per-view shows absorb less risk than the promoters and the networks. And that is true. That's very true. And it's not like there's even that many fights that are in between on pay-per-view as much as there used to be. So, and what I mean, do you have a chance to break even type of thing? So it said that both the fighters and the promoters, in other words, replied would take the additional risk to pay for the prices. In other words, the fighters would take less of a guarantee and more of the upside, for example. And this is where he kind of loses me, because he's like, well, for example, that's how we did it with Marvin Hagler, and that's how we did it with Oscar. But that was a little bit different, because those guys are guaranteed they take a reasonable guarantee and a big upside. So if that fighter, for example, say, hey, I want to make $20 million, okay, you know, then we'll figure out what is a safe amount to guarantee him, whether it's 5 or 7, give him a big share of the upside. And if he's right, then that fight will perform in a particular way. He'll make his money on the back end. Hearn, and they went on to go, like, Hearn's, you know, earned approximately $19 million off that Leonard fight and all that. But that is a little different. Back then, they already charged only $30-$35, if I recall. Yeah, it actually says right here about $35. So we'll see. You know, when it comes to that, Marvin fought largely percentage in his fight with Ray. But those are bad examples, because you're talking about a fight that was built up over, like, a long period of time. Then, of course, he goes on to say, like, for example, Al Haymon with PBC lost a ton of money on that Spence Porter. You know, and it's like, well, I don't know about a ton of money. But either way, I get his point. Now, here's my thing. I can hear that from that perspective. Now, I don't know if Crawford's going to hear that based off of some of his comments and some other fighters. I mean, Teofimo Lopez said he doesn't even want to fight, you know, in front of an audience. A lot of these guys talk, though, until they're like, all right, then we'll just put you on the bench and give you your minimum. Go for it, you know, whatever. So I hear what he's saying, and I think that, you know, here's the thing. When we talk about these big, big fights, a lot of them aren't going to be realistic for the rest of the year, because if you are worried about, the live gate, that's part of the equation. I mean, it always is, but only to an extent, of course. As we know, those are going to be the tougher fights, like we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But so I'm with him on that. That does make sense. However, are you going to take less of a percentage out of your fighters' money then? Like, if you're going to give the fighters less money, then why don't you take yours down to 20 or 15% rather than, say, 30, which is sometimes the deal. I mean, he just broke that down. 30% is like, I'm not saying he does that for every single solitary fighter, but once you get in the pay-per-view realm and all that, I think it is, because he even said it with Fury. He broke it down. He had a tweet, the 70-30 thing. So is he going to take less than 30 then? Because if the fighter's taking less of a guarantee, we know some of these guarantees are way over the top because of the zone, right, especially this last year, because they had to match the offers or come close to it. So the fighter's going to take less, and some of these guys might have to take less in general. I don't know. But is Bob going to take less then? Because if that's the case, cool. By the way, I jumped on here a little bit late. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. 4 minutes left of the live stream. 646-381-4990. I'm kind of throwing people off. I got on here a little bit late. I had scheduled the show. Something popped up, had to take care of it. So we're good, though. We're good. So that's my question. Okay, Bob, cool. I think that makes a lot of sense. And he even said, like I mentioned, Crawford or Porter, some of these fights probably aren't going to happen the rest of this year. Now, the bigger fights at certain lower divisions or divisions that don't have, like, let's say, names in them, I still think you'd probably get by with getting some really awesome fights. I mean, they can pretty much make most of the fights that were already scheduled, most of them. Like, whether it's a division that doesn't have a name yet, so their money, as you know, on average anyway, isn't as high, or the lower weight class. I still think you can get, you know, top level against top level in those divisions and be okay. So it's going to be a mixed bag of prospects. Mid-level, stay busy. But I do think we're going to get a fair amount of those top-tier fights as well. I mean, it sounds like Showtime is going to do a pay-per-view this fall with Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta. Like, if they can do it, I don't know about the crowd, though, because that'd be a damn good gate. So I don't know if they'll be able to do that one, though. But we'll see. We'll see. But I do think that's a great point by Bob Arum. Everybody's going to have to adjust their life pretty much. However, are you going to as well, though? And I suppose, you know, when you – if he's going to risk the hope for volume, you know, if you lower the price, you're thinking volume. It's like Walmart, right? The reason why Walmart can hold all these distributors and all these folks that they sell to hostage is because they had the volume to do it. Well, this is a little bit different, but the volume, that was actually a pretty bad example. I heard volume, and that's what makes me either turn it up or Walmart volume. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? So he is taking a risk on the back end by not giving as much money, but then they both are taking that risk. So they're hoping that they'll get more buyers. If you look at how they did with the second KSI Logan Paul fight, that didn't do as well as the first one. Could be a variety of reasons for that. I don't know. And even some of those Canelo. 90 seconds left, by the way, 646-381-4990 if you want to listen to the last hour of the show. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is 650,000 buys, basically, in a sense, good for Jacobs and Canelo? Well, I think that number would be – I think it's a higher number for sure. But were they thinking they could get over a million on that? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that works. And we'll see if they adjust some of that, you know, that pay-per-view money. I don't know. We'll see. But like I said, the big thing for me there is, are you going to take less than two then? Since you're not having to put up as much money, there's not as much risk then. But then again, you're not able to, you know, get the gate money too. So I don't know, but these are good things to talk about in a sense, right, because of that. We'll just keep it on Aaron for a second. There was a little, just a minor bit of follow-up from my show last week. Like I said, I got a good, fair amount of good feedback from it. There was a media member that was basically like, I doubt he cares. It's really no big deal. But when you start to add up, you know, what Aaron was saying about Manny's health, and that I wouldn't do it just based off his health. He could get damaged. And then to turn around and be like, I'm good, let's go. You know, it's kind of funky. You know what I mean? It's a little like, oh, really? Okay. You know? But, you know, he seemed to think that he doesn't care. Like, I doubt Manny cares, I think is his words. But, you know, I'm not here to, like I have been having segments where I go in depth on something, and sometimes it's been a rant, you know, no doubt about it, but I don't have a fight to preview. I don't have any predictions. I don't even have any catch up with negotiations and in a fight that may happen, you know. Not that we love to just talk about negotiations, but then you can kind of wrap your head around the situation, and I kind of like giving a heads up, like, hey, I wouldn't expect this fight based off these negotiations or whatever. I don't have those things to talk about, so I'm not trying to just rant the young fighters thing with that. A rant, yeah, it was, but I think it was a legit rant. This is what Woodley said back to me. Has Manny spoken on this? Bob toes how, like, toes the line, how to say things to get press. I'm kind of guessing Manny himself probably doesn't take offense, but has he reacted? Well, he's reacted in some ways. As far as, like, you know, saying that I didn't say no to the Manny Pacquiao fight, but that's kind of my point. Nobody's talking about this. They're just taking his quote and trying to get whatever hits or listens off of it. I think there's something wrong if you spin it to the point where you stop the fight out of the bottom of your heart and you're worried about Manny as a person because you have this special relationship. And now you're like, oh, by the way, I didn't even actually talk to him. I just spread a bunch of shit about him. My bad. Oh, by the way, we want to make the fight. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's just no way around it. So if you're out there and you think, hey, this guy's just ranting for no reason, that's cool. But I think it's a legit reason. Oh, yeah, this freaking Tyson. By the way, we broke this news a couple of weeks ago. Andy Ruiz has officially joined Eddie Reynoso. Reynoso? I'm having problems talking about that. Oh, yeah. So, Mike Tyson. So Mike Tyson's ready. He's ready to come back. I'm not trying to hate on anybody. I don't think it's really hate, but it's funny because actually, speaking of Woodsy, and I brought up Woodsy just because he's the only one that actually replied to it in the media. But I wasn't separate. I like Woodsy in a lot of ways. I think I like some of the work he really does. I like his podcast. But he actually wrote an article about Broner and how, you know, we shouldn't listen to Broner. He's a clown. He's a side act. He's a sideshow. And he's going to steal shine from people. And basically, he's a con man. And I agree with that. But then he turns around and is all saying he'd actually pay just to see if Tyson was back. And I'm like, con man? I mean, isn't Tyson even more of a con man? Do you remember his last chunk of fights? He'd be like in the ring, like, I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore, you know. But here's what Tyson said. His motivation, you know, was to stage the exhibition to raise money for charity, which I think is cool, especially if you have headgear and big gloves on. That's all I've been doing is getting in shape. That's what Tyson said on the Play a Part Together live stream on Facebook. I feel unstoppable now. I feel the same way again. The gods of war ignited my ego, and I want to go to war again. Imagine if I went out there and fought and I could help all these people we talked about. Tyson also received a variety of offers to fight again, including a pitch of $20 million to take a fight with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. I've also heard $1 million, too. You know, it is what it is. Like, I get it. It's Mike Tyson. He's freaking popular. I get it. I totally get it. I understand. But to me, it's like, nah, dude. I'm good. I don't need to see that. Like I said, if, in fact, it is, an exhibition, I mean, he's talking about going to war. It's like, I mean, you could go to war in an exhibition in the amateurs and all that, no doubt. But, like, it just kind of, I don't know. I don't need to see it. But if it's for charity, like I said, with the headgear, big gloves, I'm not going to sit there and rip it too much. I mean, when is this going to be? I mean, part of the charity would be what they actually do. It'd be just pay-per-view? I don't know. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a hater. Do your thing, but I'm not going to get too pumped about it, you know. But here's what Woodsy said. I mean, I bet not a cent on Mike to defeat AG. Man, I'm having problems tonight. AJ. But I'd open my wallet to see if maybe Tyson could, for 30 seconds, be 75% of the swarming beast he was in 1986, actually it's cut off here, and could catch Joshua and send a message to 50-somethings all over the world that they too could turn back the clock. Of course, after the clock turning exercise, the ER would be in, you know, yada, yada, yada. So I did find it funny how he called, you know, Broner a con man and turn around and be like, but I would open my wallet for him. It's like, let's let these young dudes get this shine. Let's not worry about Tyson, just like what he's saying about Broner. It is what it is. I'm not here to, I don't know. because here's another clip that made me think of it as far as con man. That time Mike Tyson used a fake penis during a drug test when he fought high. At least that's what he said. You know, it's kind of like, well, there you go. Speaking of coming back, though, yeah, this is real quick. Zane for Promoters, Fernando Beltran, has said he's finalizing shows behind closed doors for June in Mexico. I mentioned this a little bit. The schedule is the 6th. Emmanuel Navarrete and Pedro Campa. The 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. You have Omar Aguilera and Jackie Navarro. Luis Neri and Alan Picasso, Miguel Burchelt, and Elwin Soto. So Burchelt's coming back to 27th. So So maybe they're trying to sneak that in the fall or something with him and what's-his-toes. Huh, Valdez is what I'm thinking about right there. So, Tyson coming back, like I said, Holyfield's all pumped about it. And then James Toney. James Toney pops in like, nah, dude, I want a piece too. It's like, oh, here we go. See, this is what you started, Mike. This is what you started. Like I said, I'm not going to sit there and knock your hustles, guys. And if you got to make some money, make some money. It's for charity, supposedly. Now, bare knuckle boxing? I mean, bare knuckle with Tyson? That's a little bit different because you're not going to go against a high-level boxer at that point. Not that going against Holyfield or James Toney would be high-level at this point, right? But you'd be going against a lot of guys that were never even near your level. And it's bare knuckle, so you don't need as many punches to hurt people. Hey, God, it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, shit, $20 million is a lot. Even $1 million is a lot just for, to think you could just go there and destroy somebody. I don't know, man. But, yeah, everyone's all pumped up because he spazzed out on the mitts. But give him a couple more minutes. I mean, he had a health condition back then that we didn't know about at the time. And you could kind of see as the rounds went on, he would get a little winded, right? So, more power to him. I'm not a big fan of it if it's a real fight, like fighters fighting Tyson and Holyfield or Tyson against youngster. But bare knuckle, the only reason why I'm open to that a little bit is because, I mean, if he hits these guys, it's not going to take any punches. He can take a pretty good punch, right? These guys aren't anywhere near – that's a little different. I can't rip them for kind of that money. Couple different items before I get to the best division in boxing. George Foreman, the documentary. I think it's just Foreman. I think that's what it's called. It's on Epix right now. And I got like a 30-day Epix free trial because they have three shows, War of the Worlds, Godfather of Harlem, and then I'm missing one. Oh, Pennyworth. Those three is the first season. Man, all three of them I like for different reasons. But that's a quality documentary. If you have Epix or, you got some time in your hands like a lot of us, check it out. Foreman. It's very well done. It's on Epix. Speaking of, I don't know what – I'm not sure what to think of this. I was going to say Tyson Fury's saying he's got this huge announcement he's going to make. The big, big announcement. We can't make it yet, but it's a big, big announcement. I don't know what to think, dude. I really don't know what to think on that. I'm not sure what he's thinking, if it's actually real or not. Who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows? I certainly don't. By the way, just a little follow-up from people. Anybody out there that said I was just hating on the UFC – here we go again. What was it, 2 weeks ago or last week that I said that the Endeavor Holding Group, the Group Holdings Inc., is actually looking to secure a loan? Here it is. They have secured a loan for $260 million to help shore up the entertainment company business, which obviously has been hammered by the coronavirus. The borrowing, which will supplement an existing $2.8 billion term loan, will carry an interest rate of just under 11%, yada, yada, yada. But there you go. Another thing, and it says it right here. Once again, the financing should help alleviate concerns with Endeavor, which is the largest talent agency, blah, blah, a lot of live event business, a lot of movie stuff. The company's revenue has fallen roughly 70%, excluding UFC, because it's going to continue to get paid. So there's something for you right there. I don't know what exactly, if anything, is coming out of this Fury stuff. I don't know if he's I really don't know. Sometimes it's been just like people just trying to, stir up stuff, which I get, Maybe it's some kind of you know, new brand that he's going to be, you know, representing or something like that, a new sponsor. I don't know. I really don't know what he means by some kind of huge announcement. A lot of people are speculating, oh, it's a fight. Him and AJ are going to fight. And you never know. I mean, could they do it in Saudi? Yeah, possibly. You know, possibly. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. I really don't know. But he seemed really excited about it. That's for sure. Here it is. He said, Tyson Fury is great at getting the fans, blah, 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 blah. Massive news could be coming. Fury teased on how all will be revealed very, very soon. No sooner had Fury uploaded the video that the fans speculated about the Fury fight. We've got some massive news coming soon. Massive news. I just got off the phone with the old MTK management company, and we've got some massive news coming for y'all very, very, very soon. So keep an eye out for it. Just assuming, you know, that it has something to do with the AJ fight. I don't know. Here's that other thing I was telling you about. Mike Tyson offered $1 million to box Sonny Bill Williams in Australia. So that would be like a fight, not just a bare knuckle, but that'd be an actual fight, $1 million. I don't think I've ever seen that guy fight. So I'm not gonna sit there and like tear apart that guy, like who are you or anything like that. Because I gotta admit I don't believe I've seen that guy fight, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know. But the UFC, like I said, did go off not without a hitch, but Gaethje? Sounds like Gaethje and Khabib are going to fight potentially next. That's what Dana White said. That's what Dana White said. So, let's see here. Where's this quote? He also talked about, here we go. I expect Khabib and, what's the dude's name, Gaethje, to happen this summer. I don't know if it'll be the first one, but it will be on Fight Island unless miraculously the world, you know, comes back together faster than we think. So that's one of them. I also heard him talk about McGregor. Oh, he was actually on, or he was going to be on. Is it already on? I don't know if he's on the Pug Boxing and Coppinger show. He had Dana White on. They talked about, you know, how, is Zupa Boxing still in the works and UFC 249 and Fight Island? He also said boxing can be fixed and Eddie Hearn might be the guy to do it. When Eddie Hearn puts on a fight, he actually makes money. I wouldn't say that here in the States, but yeah, overall, I see what he's saying. It's a good point. He talked about, I'm just looking at it just in case here. He talked about how potentially it might be, by the way, having Andy Ruiz return, or to not return, but to be selected by Eddie Reynoso, or he selected Eddie, whatever the case is. Now he's got Canelo, Ruiz, Oscar Valdez, Julio Cesar Martinez, and Ryan Garcia. Eddie's got a nice little stable coming along there, if I don't say so myself. And like I said, that it sounds like Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta is going to happen this fall if they can, you know, make it happen, obviously. Oh, by the way, RIP to Jimmy Glenn. He's a guy that, you know, put in a lot of work in the state of boxing, or, you know, not the state of boxing, but boxing in general, spent more than 70 years in boxing in some capacity. Glenn began working as a trainer in the 1950s, early 50s. Not long after, had a brief amateur career in which he lost to eventual heavyweight Floyd Patterson. Of course, the beloved owner of popular bar in Times Square. But yeah, 89 years old, so he lived a whole life. But Cutman, longtime trainer. Like I said, the popular bar as well. He died of COVID. Jimmy Glenn, RIP, man. That's a rough one, no doubt about it. That's a rough one. What did he say? He said something else. I know I got it someplace. Sorry about this here, guys. And they did, they kind of went over a lot of, they had a lot of different, you know, obviously protocols. This is how, you know, they kind of worked it out. So each fighter will have a, and I'm talking about the UFC this over this weekend. Each fighter will have a designated waiting area at the hotel. The plan is to have two fighters in the cage and two fighters warming up at the arena. Once the fight is over, a new group will leave the hotel and go to the arena. So it was kind of like an ongoing thing. They talked about how many, you know, how many tests they did, which was a fair amount. They did have a protocol, it sounds like, though, in the contract. Here's what Stephen Espinosa said about it. This is in reference to anyone know why you are not seeing any critical comments from the fighters or corners or managers about health or safety issues, because I guess there was a protocol in the document that they had to sign. This is what Espinosa said. It's because they were required to sign a document which says that they could lose their whole purse and bonuses if they say anything negative about the COVID protocols. Now, you know, Espinosa saying that in one thing, there's also, you know, I don't know. Obviously, he had something to say back on that. But Dana White also mentioned that it's estimated that they administered 1,200 coronavirus tests the last week to roughly 300 people. Three tested positive. One of them was a fighter, you know, during it. They had to pull him out. Is a sporting event the best use of – oh, that's what Guy Montoya said. 1,200 tests for 300 people. Yeah, and that's part of it, you know. It matters where you go, but if, you know, are they, you know, should those tests be out there? The UFC 249 waiver not just asks fighters to waive rights, but also on behalf of the spouse, children, grandparents, etc. Now, that's quite an ask. Let's hope he says something about grandma and the Rona. So, I mean, you know, overall, it did go pretty well. I mean, considering, obviously, it wasn't perfect. That's for damn sure. But they did get through it. And we'll see. Like I said, there could be more information that comes out of this that you never know. Maybe it's worse than we thought. And by the way, Showtime and Bellator might be in Studio City at the soundstage. That might be where they return. Just a heads up there. For some odd reason, I cannot find what the detail was about that. But I'm thinking about, I know Dana White had a clip too, because he, you know, he was like, I guess the media also had to sign stuff, so they're not going to say a whole lot, you know, if the media had to sign this waiver too. It's kind of like, well, what are you going to get out of the media then at that point? They're just going to sit back and be like, yes, Dana, no, Dana, you're right, Dana, I agree with you, Dana. I don't know, it's kind of weird. But here's Dana White's response, by the way, I did kind of, to Espinosa's thought process on that.
Earlier tonight on Twitter, I know you've done a couple of interviews about this already, but Stephen Espinosa alleged that you guys have a clause in the contract that means you can take away the fighters' money if they say disparaging things about the company. I just wanted you to hear your reaction to that.
Say that again to me.
Stephen Espinosa tweeted that you guys have a clause in your contract that could take the fighters' purse away if they say something negative about the company. I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that.
That's not true. First of all, there's something in the contract for disparagement.
Right.
There's a disparagement clause in there that's in all of our contracts. Isn't that creepy looking little fucker a lawyer? Isn't that creepy little fucking goofball a lawyer? Does he not know what disparagement means? If you disparage the company, I'm not even a fucking lawyer, and I know the answer to that question. Yeah, it's disparaging. It'd be like if he came out and said, they never tested me. The UFC never tested me for the coronavirus. But if you came out and had something critical to say about the testing that was true.
Well, there you go. So I did find a little clip. For some reason, I couldn't find that puppy. Like I said, it is a positive in general. Now, whether that actually – I'm not talking about the contract clause, if that's a positive or not. I'm saying in general the fact that they got through it tells you something. Couple more items here. There were a fair amount of rules that the UK posted. Where were they? Okay, so – boxers, referees, this is UK, people, just so you know, from the BBB of C, the Triple B of C, do you guys go call it that? Fight shows, the fight shows obviously start with no fans, no big surprise there. Boxers, referees, trainers will be transported to the venue wearing personal protective masks. A fighter may remove their protective mask when inside the ring, but referees and teams in the corner must keep theirs on. Boxers may not spit in their respective corners. That makes a lot of sense. Not even in a bucket, though. No ring announcers, ring girls, or TV cameras inside the ring. All proposed venues must be reviewed by, of course, the Triple B of C and clean to a medical standard before the event. Only essential officials, promoters, broadcasters can attend. Individual high-risk categories such as pregnant women, those seriously overweight, people with diabetes should not attend. Although that's kind of funky because it's kind of like, well, is it? We already said that, you know, that they're not going to have fans. Everyone at the event must be tested for COVID. All boxers and trainers and referees must be tested for COVID 48 hours before the fight and self-isolate at the hotel until their test results are known. So that's a little bit of UK rules that they put out not too long ago. So a couple more items before we get there. Might as well just string through some of this stuff. So Ryan Garcia is not too happy right now with Mares, Abner Mares, one of my favorite fighters, actually. So here's Ryan Garcia. He said, where did all this start? Okay, so he said, he said to Henry Cenedo, I don't think it is, he basically asked, do you think he'd give me a good fight in a boxing ring? And this dude's a UFC guy. And this is his response. Get the hell out of here, you Oscar De La Hoya wannabe. I'd make you bend the knee in your own sport. Dana White, allow me to fry this fish. That's what he said to him. Now he responded, don't end up like Conor now. Meaning Conor McGregor, obviously. My guy, Henry C., is 5'4". You enter the ring with me, you'll end up retiring for good. Just enjoy your championships in MMA. So he went back at him. Now, Abner actually did come out and say, funny how fighters are calling out UFC legends. Must be a fan of this dude. Funny how fighters are calling out UFC legends when they still haven't done shit in their own sport. Just saying. That's what Abner said. Now, and he makes a good point. I find it real funny. This is Ryan Garcia. Old ass. And why did he just say it? It's just funny. Old ass Abner Mares is talking shit. If you want to get knocked out again in the first round, so I guess Garcia's knocking out everybody in the first round from here on out. I find it really funny. Old ass Abner Mares is talking shit. If you want to get knocked out again in the first round, then be my guest. That goes for you too, Linares. Okay. He responded. I'll give him that. Then Abner came back. My old ass is just getting up. What did I miss? And you ain't knocking no one out, especially in the first round. Wake me up when you fight someone decent. Going back to sleep, need my my 10 hours doc recommended for us old men. Oh, yeah. Good morning. And he also added, and this isn't even no clout chasing because I ain't even at the homeboy. These are just facts, basically. Going at him or just in general, or he's not a homeboy with him. These are just facts. Is he a good fighter? Yes. Is he the future? Well, looks so, but looks so. By the way, they're taking his career. Got it. Has he done shit in boxing? Hell no. Other than making the double end bag look easy. So that was a little fun little spat there. We'll see. I doubt that fight would ever happen. So Anthony Joshua, right? Sometimes his comments are just goofy, dude. Sometimes they're just so fucking goofy, dude. And here's another one. Right back to my guy, Idick, boxingscene.com, just getting all the news from there. Wow, that went down the wrong pipe. Sorry about that. All right, so Anthony Joshua. Here's the headline. Tyson Fury has surprised me, but every fighter needs time to develop. Anthony Joshua didn't think Tyson Fury would be unbeaten while watching the career development. The British superstar, yada, yada, yada. Fury didn't just defeat Wilder, took Jerry's ass up. Here we go. Here's what he said. This is what he said on Maddox's podcast. He has surprised me, but I believe that every fighter needs time to develop. He was already developed, like 5 years ago, right? He didn't just develop this year or last year. And I say, like, Tyson Fury has been, professional now, 11 years? Going on 12, he needed so much time to develop, and he's finally got to the stage where he's found that straw of confidence. I mean, he needed, 12 years to develop? Dude, it was almost, this November, it would be 5 years. Wasn't that 2015? Am I right? At the end of 2015, he beat Klitschko? He had shown skill before that fight. Now, given he had punched himself in the face, too, as a prospect, but, dude, 11 years, going on 12, he needed so much time to develop, and he's finally gotten to the stage where he's found that straw of confidence, so congratulations to him. So I just reflect on that. And that's why, as you said, that bird's eye view, when I'm studying these guys, Tyson Fury, when I was coming through and I looked at his career, or I looked at my career, and I said, whoa, I've done what it took him 10 years to do in 3 years. Imagine where I'm going to be in 10 years. So I keep on moving through, and I get that I had my little issue with Ruiz thing last year, but I've always say another 6 years from now, when I'm where Tyson Fury is, in time, I should be unstoppable because of the wisdom and the technique and all that. It's just a funny quote. Like, he's finally developed. It's like, dog, he's been developed for a while now. Let's calm down a little bit. But he always has some quotes where you're like, really, dude? Like, really? Okay, so let's get to some. I'm gonna go box Twitter too, but let's get to some of this main stuff here. By the way, just the PBC on Fox, 1 year review. Like I said, you can just Google this or go to gruelingtruth.com under the boxing segment or area, and you can find that or just Google it, whatever. It's basically the progress report for the first year of the PBC on Fox deal. I know it's over a year, but overall, I think people realize how well they've been pushing this stuff, how a great job they've been doing promoting. I think that's pretty much undeniable. So kudos to them for that. You know, the pros and cons, there are some things they need to improve. There is, like, I'd say we should probably steer clear of, like, Arislandi Lara and Alvarez's, Canelo Alvarez's brother on a main event, that type of thing. But I think a lot of the, you know, when they rolled out, there are two rollouts that they had originally in 2018 to 2019. You know, when they did the rollout then for the first chunk of the year, 2019, a lot of people were kind of down on it. Nah, it's not really that good. And it turned out to be pretty damn good. They gave us surprises. Some of these main events have turned out better than they looked on paper. And it's funny because the same thing, they rolled out a couple of main events and cards this year, and people shitted on them, and two out of the three or four biggest upsets have come on a Fox main event. With Rosario, and then obviously with what's his name? Why can't I think of it? Koznaski getting beat. So, Duhapis. Anyway. So, I think they've done a hell of a job promoting the sport. You can see once they actually signed the deal and it wasn't a time buy anymore, from that Charlo Brothers fight card on, they have been pushing this stuff. They pushed the big fights. They've helped add numbers to the pay-per-view. Overall, it's been exposure-wise. I really like the amount of time that they put towards boxing on FS1 and FS2. And even Fox at times, you know, shoulder programming-wise, they've put it after football games. They've done some really awesome things with their shoulder programming. Now, having a face-off for each guy, you can even see they scrapped some of that this year. I can understand some fights are just not worthy of a face-off, so I understand that. But I think they've done a pretty damn good job at shoulder programming. And, you know, like I said, even if a fight, let's say, underperforms on a pay-per-view, the amount of press, like a Wilder, I mean, where you thought it was going to be and where it actually, you know, where the experts said it was going to be, Wilder and Ortiz, the rematch, I've heard experts say it was going to go under 150, you know what I mean? So it is what it is where it turned out, but the amount of exposure in the fall going into the winter, going into that fight that Wilder got, the fight itself, but Wilder got, and then a month later to rally back up for Fox and ESPN in this case, I mean, just that time frame, Wilder got a ton of exposure, and you can see a lot of these guys are becoming bigger names, so I think Fox has done a great job. Now, the average rating will need to come up. Fox does have a demo problem on average, if you look at their average demo. So that's – it's not like an ESPN or a CBS demo, you know. So that's something that is – I wouldn't say 100% troubling because Fox has that problem a lot anyway. But the fact that they have plenty of live sports, and also, it looked like they were going to have more baseball games this summer as lead-ins. I liked what they did with the XFL. It sounds like that's gone. But, hey, if a million or 2 million or 3 million people are watching the XFL and they go to a fight right after it, I'll take it. But it looks like that's not happening. So, overall, the average rating needs to go up. I'd like to see more fights peak over 2 million. There are some. But I think they can, you know, work that up. The FS1, I like what I like the shows, the mid-level, the prospect stuff, the crossroads stuff. I thought they've done a pretty damn good job there as well. And sometimes they'll have like a stay busy main event that isn't, let's be honest, that all attractive. But usually they hook up the undercard. So I think that's key too. We say that a lot. If you have a stay busy in the main event, you got to do the undercard. You got to hook up. You got to give something on the undercard. So I think not having like Canelo's brother against Arislandi Lara or something like that would help that rating as well, the low end of the rating. So there's things they need to improve, no doubt. I think the shoulder programming has been pretty solid. The commercials have been pretty solid as well. Some of them really, really good. Just the amount of it, though, I've really liked what they've done. And it seems to be working pretty good with Fox because they paid a lot less than they have for the UFC. So I think it's been doing pretty damn good. You really can't, you know, since December 2018, they've put out the most quality fights. The Zone caught up last year, but they definitely have. So I'd say it's been pretty good. Like I said, if you want a little bit more in depth when it comes to that, they, you know, obviously the media hasn't given a fair shake, but that, you know, that's a normal PBC thing in general. But if you want a little bit more in depth, like I said, you can check it out. The PBC on Fox progress report first year thing. It's at the Grueling Truth under boxing, or just Google it. All right, we are starting to wind down here. Let's get into this the main topic, okay? Let's get into this. So, what's the best division, you know, in boxing right now, today? Now, you have seen a fair amount of talk about the lightweights lately. Now, they got the elite fighter on top, and I say elite just because he's been there and done some of this already. Gervonta could be turned into be elite. Haney could beat, Teofimo could beat him, Ryan Garcia. I mean, it is stacked in a lot of ways. Teofimo, Lomachenko, Gervonta Davis, Devin Haney. I mentioned Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell. I mean, Richard Comey, he's not gone just because of that, just because of this last fight. Javier Fortuna has a chance to beat Campbell potentially. You still have a Jorge Linares who's hanging around. Michelle Riviera, an up-and-coming prospect that's been featured on Showbox a lot. I mean, it's deep. There's more, too, but it's deep. It's deep. And there's guys from 130 that could maybe pop up. It's pretty damn good. I'd say the one thing is they haven't fought each other really all that much yet, because this is kind of a new wave in this division. So I think that's what's holding it back from being the best. But dude, that's up there. I mean, you got to put that, I'd say, top four for sure. I think you have to do that. I'd probably say you have to do that. So that's a damn good division. And like I said, it could end up with having the most elite fighters in it, potentially. It really could. Now, if you look at, let's say 154, you know, 154, it doesn't look like they have an elite fighter in the division. Charlo could come out of it. There's a couple of guys. There's that Eastern European dude who I can't think of right now. Madrid, or what is it? I can't remember his damn name, but he's an up-and-comer, so you know, it doesn't look like they're, like I mentioned, there's necessarily an elite fighter, but it's really full of depth. And not only are we talking about, oh, it's full of depth, but we've seen that ever since, what was that, 2017, 2016, where they had that triple header, all 154-pounders. I think it was Lara and Marta Rosian, and then the Charlo brothers in separate fights. I think that was that all? Because I think the Jermall fought Trout that night at for 154 belt, and then, or Trinket, whatever you want to say, and then it was Jackson who gave him a damn good fight, the other Charlo, Jermell. And so I think that was like May 2016. So that's like 4 years ago. They've met, I mean, we've seen upsets, we've seen great fights. Have they had the major unification that brought all the best belts together? No. I mean, undisputed. They've had plenty of, you know, unifications, but when you look at it, you know, whoever gets out of this, you might have to say they're elite. Charlo, Rosario, Teixeira just won a belt. Arislandi Lara, Brian Castillo. I mean, I guess you could say Kell Brooks around here. Hurd, Michael Soro might get a chance, I think, with Castaño, right? Jack Coclay, Erickson Lubin, Julian Williams, Tony Harrison, RIP to his pops, too, by the way. Kurbanyov, is that who that guy was? I can't remember who that guy is. But, I mean, they are deep, dude. I think it's Israel Madrimov, something like that. That's who it is, actually. So I'm looking. I mean, it's fucking deep. It's a damn good division, dude. I guess, like I said, the one thing holding back 54 is no one has emerged just yet. I still think, I believe Charlo won the first fight with Harrison. So, but now he knocked him out. So I'm good on that. Do I want to see a trilogy at some point? Sure, definitely. Because I did have Harrison up 6-4, I think, at the knockout. So, you know, do we go right to it? Hey, if that's what happens, cool. If not, that's cool too. I guess my point is he can still fight Hurd, Arislani Lara, a bunch of the guys I just mentioned, Charlo. And if he got a couple more victories, Rosario obviously too. If he got a Daniel, like, dude, it is deep. It's freaking deep. That might be the deepest division right there. And like I said, the entertainment, the whether it's great fights, razor sharp fights, Castaño and Lara was another good fight. Lara Hurd Williams. I mean, you can both Charlo Harrisons were competitive. It's a damn good division. Now 118 bantamweight is another one where you look and you go, there's a lot of talent there, dude. Obviously, you got the monster Inoue, Ulibali. Well, you have Kessimura, the guy who he was about to fight. You have Luis Neri. Well, do you? Is he going to be at 122? Nonito Donaire is still there. Looks like Rigo is going to, you know, try to be back there. Tate could still be lingering. Rodriguez is damn good. There's another Inoue, too. Takuma? I think that's what his name is. Joshua Greer is a prospect coming up. You still have a vet like Rasheed Warren, although he's probably past his prime. Same with Quatros. Ayano is no chump. 118 is freaking deep, too, dude. You do have some other prospects like Russell Jr. coming up there, too. Gary Antonio, Russell Jr. Do we have any other prospects I miss? I think you did. But that's pretty freaking deep, man. And not even that long ago, you know, there was even more people at that weight. Because, you know, Chocolatito, is he 122 now? Or can he be at 118? Is he going to be 118? You know, so that's something. That's a freaking deep division, too. And 122 is pretty solid as well. No doubt, pretty solid. Someone said light flyweight, 108 as well. It's pretty deep. I'm not going to sit there and break down all the guys like I know everyone in that division. Just to be honest with you, shouts out to Asian Boxing, though. He came with that. And then, obviously, welterweight. You know, welterweight. The thing with 160, 170, 175, 168 – 160 is weird because you're stacked, especially if Canelo's there. 168 has some talent, but Canelo adds that depth. 175, you have Bivol, you have Better Beev, you have Kovalev still, you have some big, you know, some, I shouldn't say big name fighters, but some pretty damn good fights to be made there with some depth and some guys coming up, and even a guy like Jean Pascal and Badu Jack who still will give you a good fight. But if Canelo stayed at 175, that would add to the depth. I think those divisions are just on the outside. I mean, 160 is deep. Don't get me wrong. But it's kind of like, well, Andre has yet to really have a high-level fight. Charlo, most of his damage was at 154. So, you know, I don't know. It's pretty damn good, though. And then, I mean, 147. I mean, you got Spence. You got Crawford, you got Porter, you got Thurman, you got Ugas, you got Danny Garcia. I mean, obviously you got to still say Mikey Garcia, you know, to an extent, right? I mean, at the high levels, I don't know. He looked pretty good. You have Sergey Lipinets. You have that Abdukhav Horov, whatever the hell his name is. You have Bess Putin. You have Jamal James. You have the Mean Machine who actually looked pretty good. Thomas DeLorme, who's going to fight James. You have Jaron Ennis coming up. I mean, damn, a lot of people like that. A guy like Abel Ramos. You know, when you look at this, and then the vets like Jose Cito Lopez still, even like a Ray Robinson who almost beat the Mean Machine. There's more, too. Amir Khan, even, I guess you could say. To me, the fact that these guys – no, Crawford really – oh, well, Horn's not really a 147-pounder anymore. But I guess you could put Benavidez in there. He had a good showing as well. I still go 147. It's close. It is close. 118 is freaking really close. And the high-end talent, 135 has high-end talent, but it is inexperienced, where I think 118 has high-end talent, but that is experience. Inouye, their elite guy, and some other pretty damn solid fighters that I mentioned, is elite. So Lomachenko is elite, but all those other guys have to prove each other, you know, something. Now, obviously, hopefully we do get the Lopez fight, Teofimo. So, man, when I look at it as far as experience, and depth, and especially like that veteran depth too, I'd still have to go welterweight. I know people really, yeah, I've heard that last year, that I only want to see one fight at welterweight, which is just silly. Of course we all want to see Spence Crawford, but we had some pretty good fights at that weight class. I don't know if you missed that last year, but so I'm going welterweight. I still think welterweight is actually the best division. It's tightening up, no doubt about it, but I still go that way. Now, with 9 minutes left of the show, we will kind of just boxing Twitter random stuff on our way out. Here's something random. Jojo Diaz, Joseph Diaz Jr., this is what he said to Will Esko from badlefthook.com on SB Nation. Teofimo has all the tools to beat Vasily Lomachenko. Diaz believes Lomachenko is too arrogant and thinks it will catch up to him. So, I don't know, man. I hope Teofimo knocks him out. I don't like Lomachenko that much. I just think he's too cocky and too arrogant. I mean, okay. He said some arrogant things. Yeah, once you hit that level, do you say some arrogant things? Yeah, when you have that much skill, do you say some arrogant? Yeah, of course. But, I mean, it's just funny to say that about Lomachenko when you're talking about Teofimo Lopez, too, dog. Like, Teofimo's pretty arrogant. I mean, he'll tell you that, you know. So that one kind of threw me off. Like, I don't know if that's the reason why I would want him to beat him, you know. I don't know. That one's a little funky, like I mentioned. It's kind of like, okay. There was a guy who works for Everlast, Ernie, put this out today. Public service announcement. You really want your name and podcast to grow, try using the proper resources to get your guests. A lot of times PR teams will actually help you promote the show. Pandering on here, Twitter, is not the move, just my two cents. I think that's pretty weak. I hear what he's saying to an extent, but first of all, and he was talking about this guy who just started a podcast, and, you know, I thought I hear what he's saying to an extent, but dude, like, it's a grind to get this stuff, and there are some PR teams that'll help you, but also not for free per se, and also there's people that won't help you because of the competition. So I don't know about all that. I can't knock dude's hustle. Marcos is his name. He started a podcast during this. He's been getting a lot of good guests. And he asked people on Twitter if you want to come on the show. I don't know, dude. Like, when you first start out getting guests, dude, it's a grind. It's a grind when you get the guests. We used to have a different format years ago, and we'd have two or three guests a show sometimes. It's a grind, dude. I can't knock his hustle. All right, so here's some more Adrian Broner post in drama stuff. If I don't get $10 million my next fight, I'm not fighting Showtime and Al Haymon. That's where I'm at with this auction shit, or I would just go do my own thing and start up all over again and become champion. That's where he's at. Okay? A lot of people might look at me crazy like I'm, or might look at like I'm crazy, but I will get the last laugh. I know the business. I understand the game. It's my way or the highway, and I-75 don't stop for a while, so keep pushing until you run out of gas or pay me. Okay, man, cool. I'm sure they're looking back and going, sweet, dude. That's fine. All right, man. Good for you. Then start over then, I guess. I guess you'll just start over. That's cool. Here's some more Twitter stuff, dude. David Benavidez versus John Jones in a boxing match. And I actually looked at this like it was Roy Jones. How does this go? Jones is listed at 6'4 with a longer reach and bigger frame, but I still say Benavidez, even at 168, chops him down. Yeah, dude. I think so. It's boxing. I looked at that, it got sent to me that it was actually Roy Jones. I saw Castillo did Pretty Boy, or how he did Pretty Boy Floyd, outlining by 100 punches. And McGregor, who never boxed professionally, took multiple rounds for money. Rounds from Money Floyd, so Loma wins. This guy thinks Loma wins because of the Castaño fight. That's kind of weird. Bradley versus Mayweather. This is boxing degenerate. That's what he says. Bradley Mayweather, boxing degenerate. Bradley versus Mayweather would have been a good fight if Mayweather wasn't such a pussy. Bradley was all, come break down this wall, Floyd. Floyd was all, yeah, fuck that. I'm going to fight Baldomir or some other scrub. Are you worried that UFC is going to overtake boxing with no boxing planned for the foreseeable future? Yeah, actually, there is stuff planned. In at least another few months of no boxing, at least another few months, this gives UFC a free shot at showing their fights and all fight fans' promotions. And with boxing fans desperate for action, they're going to tune in. Dana White sees an opportunity and he's pouncing on it. Dana is ruthless. Boxing needs to wake up. Well, the problem is it's not a couple of months away. We just haven't had the least of it, but they, I don't know about that. I think that's a little over the top. What else we got? We got like 3 minutes left. What do we got? Okay. Benavidez Sr. So, David Benavidez's dad. Canelo is done. Worn out. There's just so many fights. Benavidez Sr., Canelo is done. He's worn out. There's just so many fights. Knees are 7%. His knee is at 7%. That's what That's what he said. So here's another tweet. Let's say I can't read what the person sent this to me. Let's say a person didn't want to compete but agreed to so he wouldn't lose his home. I'm scared, that's normal, he said. Continued, everyone's scared. We try to keep everything protected, but I keep thinking about one thing. If I can't pay my house mortgage, if I can't pay my bills, I'm going to lose my house. If I go on the streets, that's when it gets complicated. That's when I really won't be protective. I have to take care of my family, and I know the UFC will keep being protected. That was somebody's quote. Someone sent that to me, so I don't know the exact quote. Sorry, I just don't know it. All right, we got about a minute left. I'll save a tweet here. Let's try to get to some interesting tweets here. Here we go. The Lomachenko haters just got a way out. Congratulations. With the fight postponed against Lopez, now Arum saying that the fight can't happen without fans, Lopez is backing out and saying no, he won't fight Loma, in an empty arena saving face for the beatdown, which is kind of funny because it goes against what Bob was saying. They need fans in that one. The haters are jumping in support of Lopez's duck, and they now have an excuse. They looked for one. They looked for one, and congrats, you got it now. It's like, really? I mean, okay. Sure, buddy. Sure. Oh, here we go. I've been trying to fight Pacquiao since 2015. Back when I was trying to fight him, he was fighting guys like Brandon Rios, Jesse Vargas, Timothy Bradley two more times. I don't know what it is. I just think they didn't like my style or whatever it was. That was Terrence Crawford. That was Terrence Crawford. So I think it's about to shut down. We'll see if it gives me a little bit of, like, a couple of minutes time here. Probably shut down.